Well, if you've got your Bibles open, Acts 14, that's the place I would like to be able to, for us to look at today. So if you've got a Bible there, it'd be good to open up that section there so we can have a look at God's Word. And let me pray, though, is before I begin. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given us your Word, your living Word, this transforming Word. We thank you this part of Scripture that tells us about the events that happened in the past, which is so relevant for us here in the here and now. And we pray, Lord God, that you would that your living Word would live in our hearts so that we could live it out for you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, there's this tail end of Paul and Barnabas' this mission. You see, they were missionaries and they went to foreign lands. But they came back. And the first thing they did was to gather the church together and to report all that the Lord had done through them. Now, Karen and I, our intention is under God that we return in 3 years' time back here to report to you all the things that we've seen the Lord do while we've been away. But here there is Paul and Barnabas, and I would have loved to have been there when they were there with the church, hearing all the stories, and you can imagine all the anticipation. Maybe when Jenny gets back from Dubai, you might come back here and tell us what's happened over there. And everyone would be really keen to hear, to know what's been going on. Well, what did Paul and Barnabas say? We've got it written down of all the things that they did while that in this period that they were away. First of all, they were sent off by this very same people. There was a partnership. I know we're looking at chapter 14, but if you flick back to one chapter to chapter 13, you know that they were in the city of Antioch. Antioch is north of Jerusalem and was now the new centre of new missionary outreach. It was a city that was started when Christians had to flee from Jerusalem because of persecution, and they found themselves there now in Antioch. Large numbers were saved. Paul and Barnabas spent about a year with them beforehand, teaching them and discipling them. It was in Antioch that these followers of Jesus were first called Christians. But it was this new church that saw the great need for other people to hear about Jesus. So they, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, in the direction of the Holy Spirit, they sent Paul and Barnabas off. And we can read about that in chapter 13. Set apart for me, Paul, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. And then in chapter verse 4, the two of them sent on their way by the Holy Spirit. Now, as Karen and I go, there's a number of just general principles that we want to take with us, and maybe for you to have in mind as we think about the kind of work that we're going to be doing in Tanzania. First of all, it needs to be God's work, God's direction, God's empowering. The Acts of the Apostles, I think, this is, I don't want to be heretical here, but I think it could easily be called by a different name. The Acts of the Risen and Reigning Jesus. Because he's the one who's really directing his church. He's the one who's saving people. He's the one who is empowering. He's the one who's gifting. He's the one who's gathering. And he's the one who's sending. And we want to be very conscious that, as Karen and I go, it's got to be a work of God. This is not just the work of men. It's a spiritual work. Only he changes lives and transforms hearts and minds. And so we want to go out in his strength and his power, and that's why prayer is so vital. Because there's a spiritual work. And so Paul and the Barnabas were set off, and they started going from town to town telling people about Jesus. So that's the first thing just to remember from this chapter here. It's got to be a work of God, directed by the Lord Jesus and empowered by his Spirit. Now, the second thing is, I want us to, from this chapter here, is when they went to every place they went to, they always spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that people could understand. They didn't speak a foreign language to them. They always communicated in the language of the people, but also tried to connect with them in a way that really resonated. So in chapter 13, verse 13, they come to another Antioch, but this one is in an area called Pisidia, so it's often called Pisidian Antioch. And the first thing that Paul and Barnabas do, because they want to have an audience, is they go to the synagogue and they get invited to speak. Now, in a synagogue, there's Jews, and they've also got some God-fearing Gentiles, but mainly Jews. So because Paul and Barnabas want to connect with them, he starts talking to them about their shared history. And he speaks to them from the scriptures, from the Old Testament. So we read in verse 16, chapter 14, verse 16, standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, "Men of Israel and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our fathers. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt." And you can imagine the people going, "Yes, that's right, that's right, that's right." But very quickly, as he talks about the history of God's working amongst his people, he then, and this is the third thing, is he brings and talks about Jesus. But beforehand, he's connecting with them in a way that they can understand. And that's why for Karen and I, when we go over to Tanzania, language learning is such a vital thing. It's the language people speak. Now, I spoke Swahili 30 years ago, and it's very rusty. One of the great things about being in Melbourne was that the requirement of our training was to, A, find a church we can go to and belong to. But it had to be non-English. Imagine being in a church where you couldn't understand what was going on. And yet that was a deliberate training for us to be able to be in a church where you didn't understand what was going on. And then on Monday, we would have learning groups and we would talk about what was it like? How did you feel? Did you feel awkward? Did you feel strange? Was everyone staring at you? Did you feel embarrassed? But we found a church in Geelong that it was Swahili speaking, which was tremendous. They were all Congolese refugees and we had a wonderful time, and that was a chance for me to be able to remember some of the Swahili that was starting to come back. And so by the time we left in June, I think I was understanding about 25% of what was going on. The words were coming back and I had a gist of what was going on. But for poor Karen, she was just standing there smiling. She was sitting there smiling. So learning language is such a vital thing. And that's why CMS is not really involved very much in short-term missions. Their commitment is to long-term missionary work. And so we expect to be learning language for at least, we started for the first 6 months, just language learning. And then, and continuing on with a tutor for 12 months, maybe longer, while we start our work. And it's really ongoing. There's a real commitment by CMS. Questions afterwards, if you don't mind. You're the first question that morning tea there, Charlie. But it's real commitment to and learning the culture so that you can go deep in relationships. And that can only be done through love and language. But Paul, in his sermon, very quickly gets to Jesus and wants to say that all the promises that God made to the people of Israel have all been fulfilled in Jesus. He is the promised king that God promised. The next thing that we can expect in any kind of ministry and missionary adventure, we want to see people saved. And under God's good hand, There, as Paul and Barnabas spent time in various towns, they saw people saved. So even in Pisidian Antioch, we read that that many people were saved there. But this is the other more important thing. There will always be some kind of opposition. Persecution of some kind. I don't know if you experience it here in Picton. That we know as Christians, we're finding it harder and harder to live for Jesus even in Sydney and Australia. And we need to expect that's what it'll be like because of this the spiritual warfare that we're involved with. And that was the same for Paul and Barnabas. So we read at the end of chapter 13 that the word of the Lord spread, yes, through the whole region, but the Jews excited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city, and they stirred up persecution for Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So can you pray for us, for Karen and I, that when those things come, that we'll be able to be courageous unto God. And here's something to pray for. Because sometimes persecution can come not so much from the outside, but from within the Christian gathering. We're coming in as missionaries. Sometimes some of the pastors, and maybe some Christians, may be suspicious of us. Maybe mistrust may develop. Sometimes there's criticism. And then there can be a breakdown of relationships. So please pray that our relationships with our bishop that we all be going to work under and with all the pastors, and that God will maintain those relationships so they can be trust and goodwill and love. Well, Paul and Barnabas left Pisidian Antioch. They went to various towns. They went to Iconium. They spoke the gospel there. They went to Lystra and Derbe. They spoke the word of the Lord there. In each place, they saw people saved, but there was persecution. Now, once they'd been through those towns, what do they do? Well, we pick up the reading from Maria. They were in Derbe, verse 21 of chapter 14. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned. So the towns that they'd been in, they went back to each one on their return trip. And they did two things. The first thing they did was to be able to find Christian leaders who could then be disciples of the people, and teachers and disciples. So they appointed elders in each of those towns when they went back. And that's such a crucial thing, as Karen was mentioning. The Tanzanian leaders are saying, yes, we're good at church planting, we're good at evangelism, but we're not very good at discipling the congregations. And we want to be able to help in that particular area because it's so vital, isn't it? The second thing they did was that they encouraged them these disciples to remain true to their faith and encourage them. Here's a question. What would you say to a bunch of new Christians? What's the one sentence you would say to them? Surprisingly, look what Paul and Barnabas say to these new Christians. And we see in chapter 14 and verse 22. He says, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Isn't that interesting? In other words, as he was saying, expect it's going to be hard to be a follower of Jesus. But you will experience his empowering. You will be sustained by him. But don't think it's going to be easy. Well, after going through those churches and returning back to Antioch, as we said before, they gathered the church. They gathered the church together and told all the congregation what the Lord had done, and everyone was so excited and rejoiced. And so we want to come back in 3 years' time and tell you. But we go with a partnership with St. Mark's and everybody here. We're not just sent off. We want this to be a two-way thing. And when Paul went on other missionary journeys, he was always going with a sense of going together. He was the one who was going, but the people who were remaining were supporting and encouraging financially, prayerfully. But he was also praying for them and encouraging the men, so there's two-way communication. Just quickly, the second reading that Phil read out. One of the key churches that were supporting Paul was the church in Philippi. And in that letter, he says in the first chapter in verse 3, and as he writes to them and says, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers. He's praying for them. We will pray for you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So we thank God for the partnership that we have here. And we look forward to the time of coming back here in 3 years' time and telling you all that the Lord... And we want to hear what God's been doing here as well. We're really keen to hear what will happen through you and the congregation of St. Mark's as you try and reach your community for him. Let me pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you for what you did long ago through Paul and Barnabas. You saved many people. Your church was established in new towns through their work. And I do pray, Lord God, for St. Mark's Picton, for each person here. Build them up, encourage each one, fill them with your love by your Spirit. Keep them close to yourself. And I pray, Father, for your blessing upon the whole congregation, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.